Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai.
Daf Ayin Tet. Today's daf has been sponsored Le'ilun Nishmat Yosef Ben Simcha Sheneftar B'Kitzur Yamim V'Shanim by Jerry Harari and family. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilun Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenechem B'Gan Eden. Amen. We are studying an Ayin Tet. Amud Rishon, seven lines from the top. Or kedeh la'asot. We learned in our Mishnah that the shi'ur, the measure of leather, or that one is chayav, he carries out on Shabbat, is the shi'ur to make a kamiya. Kamiya would be an amulet. So the Gemara says, ba'a mine rava me rav Nachman. Rava had a question to Rav Nachman. Hamotzi or bekama. So he started off with an obvious question, which was a lead-up question, actually. He said, if a person goes out with or, with leather, bekama, how much is he going to be chayav? What is the considered the shi'ur chashuv? Amar le, kedetnan. He said, just like it says in our Mishnah. Or kedeh la'asot kamiya. This is the leather, the shi'ur, to make a kamiya. So the Gemara then asks the next question. Hamme'abedo bekama. What about somebody that actually tans leather? What is the shi'ur of the tanner? How much tanning of the leather are you going to be hayab? Amale lashena. He told him it doesn't make a difference. The same shi'ur, the size of a kamiya. Le'abedo bekama. Third question is, let's say you have or, you have skins, and it's destined to be tanned, but you didn't tan it yet. Which means that you want to know untanned leather that is destined to be tanned, and therefore it's not yet worthy, let's say, to write a kamiya yet, because it's unfinished. What is the shi'ur of untanned leather to carry on Shabbat to be hayav? So that's the Gemara's question. Le'abedo. You know, if you're intending la'abed, even though it wasn't me'ubad yet, bekama, amar le lashena. And he answered him again, doesn't make a difference, it's the same deen, meaning the size of the kamiya. So we come out with three halakhot over here. Doesn't matter if it's finished or unfinished, it's the same shi'ud, and for that matter, the shi'ud of ibud is also the size of a kamiya. So the Gemara says, Zumina Timra, where do I know this from? Kedetnan. From our Mishnah, Hamilaben v'Haminapetz v'Tzobayar v'Tovet. Milaben, we said, is whitening. That's taking the wool and soaking it in the river. Haminapetz would be combing, taking out the tangles of the wool. Hatzoveh is dyeing. V'Tovet would be spinning. Shi'uro kimlo rochav asid kaful. The shi'ur of all these items to be hayav on Shabbat is the width of a seat kaful. What is a seat? A seat, Rashi explains to us, is if you take, let's say, your etzba, that would be the, I guess they call it the forefinger, next to the middle finger, and spread it, that distance between those two fingers would be called a seat. Seat kaful would actually be double that measurement. Later on, Rashi tells us, it's the distance between the thumb and the forefinger. That distance would be considered a seat kaful. As Rashi says, seat, we read it inside, kedeh fresh etzba me'ama. Right? The shi'ur between the etzba, the forefinger, and the amah, the middle finger. Kaful shene sitin. Two sitin, which means a double measurement. In any event, that would be the shi'ur for all those melachot. Va'oreg betchutin. That if a person, let's say, makes ariga, he weaves two threads, shi'uro kimlo rochav asit. When it comes to weaving, the shi'ur is just rochav asit, which means the distance between the forefinger and the middle finger. Alma, so the Gemara now makes a diyuk. Kevan delitfiya ka'e shi'ura ketevi. Which means, since all these items, meaning melaben, menapetz, soveya, all their purpose is what? In order to prepare the wool, in order to spin it. Right? That's a preparatory item for spinning. So therefore, Rashi says, Alma, Kevad menapetz umelaben litviya. Since all these melachot are really done for spinning, shi'ura kitviya. So therefore, the shi'ur is going to be the same shi'ur as tviya, as spinning. Which means, since the spinning is going to be a sit kaful, that's the shi'ur, so too all the other melachot that are prerequisites to that are also going to be the shi'ur of a sit kaful. Hakaname, so here too by the leather. Kevan de la'abedo kai. Since you're destined to make it into tanning, meaning this unprocessed leather, shi'uro kime'ubad, which means, so therefore we give the shi'ur of me'ubad. What's the shi'ur of me'ubad? Which means when you actually tan leather, what's the shi'ur? The shi'ur is a kamiya. So therefore, planning on tanning, it's the prerequisite, so therefore it has the same shi'ur as actually tanning. So what the Gemara did here is, it brought it to ayah. How do you know something that's destined to be tanned has the same shirut of tanning? So it brought it to ayah from the prerequisite melachot to spinning, that those have the same shirut as tibiyah, because that is the preparatory melachot in order to make spinning. So it has the same shirut as spinning. So the Gemara says v'shelo la'abedo bekama. Now Gemara, that's the next question. Let's say it's eno omed la'abed. You're not planning on tanning the leather now. What's the shi'ud of that? Jeez, we discussed tanned leather. We discussed the shi'ud of ibud. We discussed leather that's planning on being tanned. Now the question is, shelo la'abed. Let's say you have a piece of leather and it's not destined to be tanned. What is the shi'ud? Amar le la'shena. Answer them again. Doesn't make a difference. Meaning it's the same shi'ud of a kamiyah. So the Gemara said, ולא שענה בין מעובד לשאינו מעובד? You tell me there's no difference between a piece of leather that's tanned and not tanned? So comes the Gemara and says, Etibe, we have a question from a Braita. What's the question? Hamotzi samanim shiruin. If a person brings out on Shabbat the public domain, samanim shiruin would be, let's say, herbs that I used to make dye, and they are soaked, which is when they're soaked, they're already being prepared to turn into a dye. That's called samanim shiruin. The herbs that are steeped, they're soaked. So what's the shi'ud of herbs that you're going to be hayav? So it says, kedel litzboa bahem dugma, the amount of herbs to make dye in order to color a dugma. Dugma would be like a swatch or a sample. Le'ira. Le'ira would mean, as she says, actually let's read the Rashi before that, dugma. Kelomar. Me'at, a small sample. Ke'en shemar'in le'dugma. Like they use the swatch to show as a sample. Lomar rotze'at abazeh. To tell the customer, you know, do you want to buy this? Le'ira. Ve'u kishi'ur atzarich le'ira. Which is the shiur of the swatch, is the amount that can stop up what they call a bobbin. The bobbin is where you have the string. So in order to weft, when they are making the adiga process, the weaving process, so they throw the bobbin across in order to, you know, have the adiga. So in order that the string doesn't come apart, so they stuff the top of the bobbin with a little a little cloth there. So they're saying the shi'ud of herbs that you take out on Shabbat is enough to make a swatch the size to fit in the head of the bobbin. So that's what we had inside again. Samanim shiruin kedei litzboa bem dugma le'ira. And the sample the size of the hole to plug up the bobbin. Now that's because they are soaked. However, ve'ilu b'samanim she'enam shiruin. But when it comes to the herbs that were unsoaked, meaning you didn't start the process yet, tanar, we have another mishnah that says kelipe egozim, the thin shell around the egozim, the walnut, the kelipe demonim, or the shell around the pomegranate, stis upua. These are different type of herbs that were used also for making dye. Kedel litzboa bahem beged katan lefi sabacha. It's in order to dye a small garment For example, the sabacha, that was the hat of the lady. So we have obviously a contradiction here. Well, not a contradiction. We see that the shi'ud of herbs varies. If it's actually being made as dye, meaning it's being soaked, then the shi'ud is a little. Then it's the shi'ud to make a swatch the size of the bobbin hole. However, when it's not dyed, when it's just regular herbs, which is a step before, so then already the shi'ud is much greater. Then the shi'ud is enough to dye a hat. So comes the Gemara and says, oh, so what's the question? So you see there should be a similar difference between leather after it's been tanned or before it's been tanned. Mm-hmm. Which means you told me to all these questions, what? No shena. That the shi'ud of the or is always kedeh la'asot kamiya. Well, here you see that only when it's actually being processed, for example, being made into dye, then we give you the small shi'ud. But a step before that, when it's still in the herb stage without being soaked, we give you a bigger shi'ud. So we should say the same thing by or. That what? When it's processed already, I booed, then tell me the shi'ud is kedeh la'asot kamiya. But before that stage, maybe it should be a bigger shi'ud. So the Gemara says, wait. Ha itmar ala, already we have a statement regarding the dyes. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Rabu, lefi she'en adam toreyach lishrot sammanim litzbawa alahem dugma le'ira. Which means a guy is not going to toil himself in order to make a batch of dye just enough in order to make a little swatch. So therefore, when you're actually making the batch of dye, so then already the shi'ud is the shi'ud to dye a hat, which would be significant. But once you have the dye already, meaning it's already steeped, it's already being soaked, then the shi'ud is going to be much less. However, when it comes to or, a person will tan a little piece of or in order to make a kamiya. So therefore it is considered davar chashuv even before it got tanned. Okay, let's look at Rashi, first white line. She'en adam torayah, ve'im ba lishrota, if you're actually coming to soak it, which means you didn't soak it yet, then shorei kedeh pi sabacha. Then you're going to do it enough to make to dye something substantial, which is to say the hat. Aval or, but when it comes to these skins, Rashi says, toreyah adam ne'abed kedeh kamiya. A guy will toil even to make a tanning on a small piece of leather the size of a kamiya. Ume'ubad nameh pachot mechdeh kamiya lo hashiv. Right? And even by leather, less than the size of the kamiya, he's not doing. Which means there is a minimum as well, even by the kamiya. So comes the Gemara and asks a similar question. Second wide line in the Gemara. That is zir'one gina. Zir'one gina would mean seeds that are placed in the garden. Planting seeds. Demekamed zar'inu. Which is before you plant them in the ground. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Zir'one gina pachot mikrigogeret. On Shabbat, what is the shi'ud? That one is going to be a hayav if he takes out seeds. So the shi'ud is less than the size of a fig. How much is that? He says it tallies up to 5 seeds. That would be the shi'ud of hashivut of seeds before they're planted in the ground. But after you plant them in the ground, tanan, we learned, zevem would be fertilizer, vechol hadak, or let's say very, very fine hol, sand, which also would be used, let's say, to fertilize. So what's the shi'ud of fertilizer that you carry on Shabbat that you'll be hayab? Kedeh lezabel bo kelach shel kruv, which means the amount in order to fertilize one stalk of the kruv, let's say the cabbage, the b'nei Akiva. So right away you see it went from 5 seeds before they're planted, and after it's planted, already you see the shi'ur got smaller.
How do you know that? Because now what's considered shiur hashuv? Obviously one stalk. Because mm-hmm. that became the shiur of fertilizing. Why did the shiur of fertilizing become the amount to fertilize one stalk? Obviously, that one stalk becomes hashuv. Now the Hakamim omrim kedel zabel kirisha. The Hakamim say the amount to fertilize one leek. So we have a machlok if it's the stalk of kruv or if it's the size of a leek. But bottom line, you see that before it was planted, it has a bigger shi'ud. So say the same thing by the leather. Before you tan it, so then already it should have a bigger shi'ud than after you tan it. And you're telling me that what? Before and after is the same shi'ud of a kamiya. So the Gemara's next question. So the Gemara says, "Ha itmar ala." We learned on this statement as well by the zidonim, by the seeds. Amara papa ha dezaria de lo zaria. It depends, of course, if it's before the planting or after. Why? Vishen adam toreyah lo tzini ma'achat lizriah. A guy is not going to toil to plant one seed. When it comes to the actual planting itself, then you need to shoot up, let's say, at least five. Then already becomes worth his while. After already you planted, now even one stalk is considered hashuf. So therefore the shoot of the fertilizer will go according to one stalk. But when it comes to the leather again, a guy will toil even on untanned leather to tan a small piece in order to make a kamiyad. Gemara asks the third question of the similar style. Varetit. Regarding tar, this is a subject that we actually discussed in yesterday's daf. Regarding the before you actually mixed it with the water in order to make the tar, to make the cement out of it, Tanya, we learned. Modim akamim the Rabbi Shimon, akamim agreed to Rabbi Shimon, b'motzi shofchin reshut rabim. What's the shiur of shofchin? Shofchin, we said, is dirty water. So we said that Rabbi Shimon held it's a Rabbi'it, and the rabbis agreed to Rabbi Shimon that the shi'ud of Shofchin to carry is a Rabbi'it. She shi'udam be Rabbi'it. The Avina Man Gemara analyzes Shofchin lemay hazu. What does a person use dirty water for? They're even giving me a minimum shi'ud. What do you mean? You could use it if you eat of dirty water in order to process and make the tar, to make the teat. Oh, vidu batar de gable. But we learned as well, after you make the finished product of teat, now you have the mixture. Tanya, we learned teat. What's the shiur of teat that you're going to be hayav on? Kede lasot behem pikur. In order to make the hole, to cushion the hole where they place the bellows into the kud, which was like the oven. So therefore the question then is, again, you see that before you processed it, you see already the shiur of the water is a deviate.
Right.
Now obviously you don't need a deviate of water to make a little, tar to make that hole. So therefore you see what? There's a difference. The shoot gets bigger before and after. So say the same thing by the leather. So the Gemara says, no, atam namer kedamran. And we explained that as well over there. So the guy's not going to toil to make tar, to make the mixture. You're not going to make a small measure, just enough to fill the hole. Once you have already a mixture, then already it's considered a hashuv to go take out, let's say, that the small amount. So it's the same answer. Mashiach came by the leather, even before you tanned it, it's considered a hashuv. As a guy will toil to even tan a smaller piece of leather. Comes the Gemara and says, Tashema, Dabar Ifchaya, Bar Ameh Mishmeh Dehuda, Shelosha Orotin. There are three types of leathers. And the Gemara calls them matzah, vehifa, vediftira. What are these three styles of leather? The Gemara explains. Matzah kemashma'o. Matzah as it sounds. What is matzah? We know matzah is unfinished bread. So in regarding to leather, it's the same thing. How? Delo maliach. You didn't salt it. That was part of the tanning process. Dudlo kamiyach. You didn't flour it. It seems they used to put it also in flour as part of the process. Kamiyach kemach is flour. Udlo afitz. And you didn't process it with the gall nuts, which is also a process of the tail, which means it's the raw leather where you didn't do any of the processes to it. So Rashi says, "Matzah kemashmao she'en la shum tikkun," which means you didn't do any tikkun to it, you didn't put any of the processes. So if you take out that leather that's called matzah, the Gemara says, "Vekama shi'uro," what's the shi'ur of such an unprocessed leather? Tani Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda kedei latzur bo mishkolot ketana. The amount of leather that it would take to wrap a small weight. Now, why would they wrap their weights in the olden days? So that she comes and tells us, because, actually, I don't see that she here, but the explanation is because you don't want the weights to lose their measurement. So therefore, they would wrap it in order that the weight remains perfect. So therefore, the shi'ur of this unprocessed or that's called matzah is the amount to wrap around a weight. Now, we don't know how big that weight is, but so the Gemara says, Vekama, how big is the weight? Amar Abaye, Rivad, Rivad, Pupedita. A quarter of the Rivad Pupedita. The Rivad Pupedita was a certain coin. So therefore they're saying it's a quarter of that coin. Now the coin was also called the Rivad. So it's like we would say today, you know, a quarter that we have in America. So therefore, a quarter of a quarter, a rivah, rivah de pumpedita, a quarter of the coin that was a quarter of pumpedita. Rashi says, here Rashi says what I told you. Look at Rashi with rivah, rivah de pumpedita, roval litra shel pumpedita, derech. So this, it was called a litra. Derech ha-soharim natur mishkalot shel ofaret, they would wrap their lead weights, kedi shelot tefhat, in order that they do not diminish. Lefi shamatechet nishheket tamid, because the metal always wears away, and therefore the measure is not going to be pure. So then what they do is, they wrap it up. Hifa, what is the second type of leather? It's called hifa. What is that? So the Gemara says, Demaliyah velo kamiyah velo afitz. You started the process. You just salted it, but you did not put it in the flour and the water, and you did not process it with the gall nuts. Bekama shi'uro, what is the shi'ur on Shabbat? Kedetnam. Or kedeh la'asot kamiyah. That is the leather of al-Mishnah. That is the shi'ur of a kamiyah. That's the middle stage. Diftera is fully processed. That's demaliyah, vekamiyah. Actually, it's salted, and it's also floured. Velo afis, but you didn't do the last process yet of the gall nuts. Vekama shi'uro, what is the shi'ur of such a leather? Kedeh lichtov alav et haget, in order to write on it the get, which would be the divorce paper. Rashi tells us, lichtov get, vetnan, I'm reading Rashi, gufo shel get, what exactly is the necessary items that have to be written in a divorce document? Hare at muteret lechol adam, first the husband has to clearly write that she's permissible to any man. Ushmo, his name, Ushma, her name, Va'edin, witnesses signing, Va'zeman, and the time. Vishiruze katan mikudan. The shiur of the get is the smallest shiur. So you see, the less processed the item, the bigger it is. Which means, the matzah, we said, that's the biggest shiur. That's the size to cover up a weight. Then we said you have the partially processed, that would be the hifa, that's the shiur of a kamiyah. And then the more processed, which we call diftera, then we said it's the smallest shiur of a get. So now the Gemara analyzes, katani miyat, we take a partial quotation of the bright that we just quoted, kedeh latsur bo mishkalot ketana. We just said unprocessed leather, you gave me a big shiur. The shiur to wrap on the weight. Ve'amar abayin abayin toras ribad ribad pupedita, which is the quarter of the quarter measurement of pupedita, which means it's a big shiur. And we said unprocessed leather is the same shiur. In our Gemara until now we kept on saying that while there is no difference between unprocessed and processed, which is the same shiur of a kamiyah. We're here. The Gemara is telling us that unprocessed leather called matzah has a bigger shiur. So the Gemara says, no, hatam bibishula. That's talking about bishula, where literally it means where it's cooked. Now the leather obviously is not cooked. Let's read that she what that means. Lach. There, no, it's talking about moist. Kemo shuvshat, which means just like right after you skin it from the animal, it's still moist. So kari bishula. So they call it cooked because when something is cooked, it's also moist. So they would say it's moist leather. Now she says, Takati lo hazel li'ibud, which is at that stage it's not even able to be tanned. That's a stage before what we're talking about. Aval yavesh hazi li'ibud, which if it was dry already, all it's missing is tanning. Then we say it doesn't matter if it's a tanned or not tanned. Od pam, there's different stages in the process. It seems right when you skin it from the animal, it's still moist. At that stage over there, you cannot make it into tanned leather. And you have to dry it out first. So when did we say that will allow the same shi'ur, which means a kamiya? That's when it's dried already, it's just not tanned. But in this gemara that said you need a bigger shi'ur, it was talking a stage before that, where it's still wet, it's still moist, where it's not even worthy to tan in this stage. That's why the Gemara necessitated a larger shi'ur. Comes the Gemara and says, oh, but that's not what we learned in the Mishnah. Habeged shelosha shelosha lemidras. This is the Mishnah that we actually had at the end of the seventh perek. The Gemara says, regarding the Tumav Midras, what is Tumat Midras? That would be the Tumav Eizav. Means a zav would, let's say, trample on something, step on something, or sit on something, or lie on something. So that item becomes an av hatumah, right? So that we call it in lashon gemara tumat midras. So the gemara says, habeg, if you have a garment. So what's the shoot of a garment that's going to be subject to the tumat midras? Shelosha ad shelosha, 3 by 3 tefachim. That's the minimum size of a garment. Hasak, sak is, let's say, made out of goat's hair. Dalit al dalit, then it's got to be 4 by 4. Ha'or, when it comes to leather, so now we're saying hamisha al hamisha. It's got to be 5 by 5 tefachim. Mapatz, mapatz was a mat made out of reeds. Vav al vav, right? 6 by 6. The Gemara says ben le midras, ben le met. This is the same din, whether it's tumat midras or subject to tumat met. Vetariala, and we learned on this statement, habeged v'asag v'ahor kishiur letumah kach shiur leotzah. Oh, which is we said that the same measurements that we gave over here for tumah are the same measurements for otzah. Now 5 by 5 tefachim, which is the shiur that the Gemara gives for or for leather, is bigger than the size of a kamiya. So the question is, you told me that what? That's always the size of a kamiya, whether it's tanned or not. Now you're telling me a new shiur over here, that the shiur of hotza'ah on leather is at least hamisha al hamisha, the same shiur of susceptibility to tumah. So Gemara has the question. Gemara says, Gemara answers, Hahu bekurtub la. Again, that was talking about special leather. That she in the bottom line, mibashelo berotchin. This leather over here, they boil in hot water, umitkashin. They make it very hard, lishev alav, in order that it'll be used for sitting. Because we're talking about midras over here, so you need to sit on such a leather. Velekasot lupkaot, or they cover the tables, shikurin. He gives you the word for that, umitov asoto shulchan. So therefore, these items are not the regular leather. These items have a different status, which means they're not tanned the normal way. These items are cooked and made into hard things. So therefore, they are not subject to the regular lean. So lemaaseh, what comes out of this gemara, normally leather, whether it's tanned or not, unless you did some type of process to it, like this case over here where you cooked it, or the other case where it was still moist, then it'll have a different shi'ud. But otherwise, the shi'ud of leather on Shabbat to be considered shi'ud hashuf to carry out will be the size of a kamiya, whether it was tanned or whether it's untanned, planning to be tanned. Comes to Gemara and continues. Comes to Gemara and continues. That's only because it was a finished type of diftera where you did all the process. Then it becomes even more hashuv. Our Gemara was talking about the middle state type of leather where it was not. Only was Maliyah, but it wasn't finished in the other two processes. This is correct. Klaf. Now we move on to the next item. Klaf, which means parchment. Kedeh lichtov ala perasha ketana. Right? We said, what's the shoot of parchment to be hayav on Shabbat? So we said the amount to write on it the small perasha of the tefillin. What is the smallest parasha in the tefillin? Parashat Shema and the Ahavta. So that's the amount of parchment that one would be hayab if he carries it out on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Urmino, we have a contradiction. Klaf veduchsustus. These are two types of parchment. One is called klaf, one is called duchsustus. Rashi explains to us the word duchsustus. Klaf shenitla kelipato ha'alyona. Which means the way that she's understanding these two items. When a person, let's say, skins the animal, the parchment, or the piece of skin that's closest to the hair of the animal, means to the outside of the animal, that's called klaf. The skin that's towards the meat of the animal, that's called duchsustus. Now actually it's just one piece. When the piece is together still, it's called givil. Then what they would do is split it. When they split the parchment down the middle, so the side that was closest to the hair of the animal is be called klaf, and the side that's closer to the basav, the meat of the animal, is called duchsustus. Those are different styles of parchment. So the Gemara says, klaf and duchsustus. What's the shi'ur of these two items, klaf and duchsustus, to be carried on Shabbat? Kedeh lichtov alav mezuzah. Oh, so now we see the shi'ur is to write a mezuzah. That means klaf, the shi'ur is to write a mezuzah. Now we know that a mezuzah has in it not only Shema and Ve'avta, but it also has in it Ve'haya. And therefore, it's bigger. You taught me in the Mishnah that the shi'ur of klaf is the shi'ur of the smallest parashah and tefillin. But now, which is Shema and Ve'avta. But now we're seeing that klaf has to be even a bigger shiur to be hayav on Shabbat. It's the shiur to write a mezuzah, which has Shema, Ve'avta, and Ve'ayah. So we have a discrepancy over here in the measurements. So the Gemara says, no, my mezuzah. What do you think when it meant mezuzah over there, when it said, Pekedel Echlala mezuzah, mezuzah shebetefilin. It's referring to the mezuzah shebetefillin, which literally means now, don't learn it as a regular mezuzah that we're used to understanding, the mezuzah that you put on your doorpost. Mezuzah can mean a parchment. So what the Braita was saying, that the shi'ud of klaf would be, kedeh lichtov alav mezuzah, meaning a parchment, one of the parchments of the tefillin. Vekari lehu litfillin mezuzah. So the Gemara says, you call tefillin a mezuzah? Where do we see that you call a parchment of a tefillin mezuzah? Gemara says, yes, where do we see that you do? Matanya, and I'll bring you a proof to this. Because we have a braita that says, Ritzu'ot tefillin, ima tefillin, mitame'ot et hayadayim. Which means, this was a Gemara that we learned earlier in the first perek regarding the laws of tum'ah, of terumah. Which means, Hakamim made certain gezerot that if a person touches tefillin at certain stages, his hands will become a sheni letum'ah, and therefore if he touches terumah, the terumah will become a shilishi letum'ah. Mm-hmm. So therefore the Gemara is giving us some of the cases where one will handle a tefillin, and the rabbis will give him a tum'at yadayim. What are they? Ritzu'ot tefillin, ima tefillin, if let's say the straps of the tefillin are attached to the tefillin, mitame'ot et hayadayim. Then they have the ability to make the hands a sheni. But if you have the boxes, let's say, separate, and the straps separate, they don't have the ability to metame. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda omer, mishum Rabbi Shimon, hanogeya b'ritzua tahor. He says, no, even if they're attached, and you touch these straps, your hands are tahor. Ad shiyiga b'ketzitza. Until you actually touch the box where they place the
parashiyot, the scrolls. Rabbi Zakkai Mishemo Omer, Rabbi Zakkai Mishemo, in the name of Rabbi Shimon said, Taor, even that, if you touch the box, it's, you're still Taor. Ad shiyigab bimzuzah atzma. Until you actually touch the mezuzah. So you see what? That the parchment of the tefillin is called mezuzah. So therefore, when we said in the braita above that klav v'duchsustus kedeh lichtov alav mezuzah, it really means the klav of the, I'm sorry, it means the mezuzah, meaning the parchment of the tefillin. So the Gemara says, wait, that is not so simple. That is not so simple. Ve'ha mediktani sefa. But we have the end of that braita. It says, "Klav kedeh lichtov ala parasha ketana shebetefilin shishem Israel." At the end of that braita, clearly says that the shiur of klav is what, in order to write the small parasha of tefillin, which is Shema Israel. Now, right away, we see that this braita contradicts itself. Because the first part of the braita said, what's the shiur of klav kedeh lichtov alav mezuzah? And then the next statement says, what's the shiur of klav kedeh lichtov, the smallest parasha in the tefillin? So this braita on its own contradicts itself from the beginning to the end. In the first shita tells me in the braita, what's the shiur of klav mezuzah? Right after that it says, oh, what's the shiur of klav? The smallest parasha in the tefillin. So the Gemara says, "Michlal deresha b'mezuzah atzma askinan." Mashma, if the sefa mentioned tefillin, mashma that when it said the word mezuzah deresha, it was referring to a mezuzah, and therefore you have a contradiction in the braita itself. Gemara says, "Aki ketan." Okay, this is how you have to relearn the braita. Make a little adjustment, and it all makes sense. Klav v'duchsustus shi'uran bekama. The braita was actually saying like this. The two styles of parchment, klaf and duchsustus, what is its measurement to be alayav on Shabbat? So the braita answers, duchsustus kedeh lichtov alav mezuzah. The shiur of duchsustus is to write a mezuzah, meaning a regular mezuzah, meaning Shema and Vahaya. Klaf kedeh lichtov alav parasha ketarash shebetevirin shishma Israel. And therefore, the Gemara's conclusion is, really, when it said mezuzah in that braita, it meant a mezuzah. But it was only referring to duchsustus. To duchsustus, which is the type of part that you write mezuzot on. So then the shiur is going to be what? The shiur of an actual mezuzah. However, tefillin, which can be written on klap, so there the shiur is going to be the smallest parasha in tefillin, which would be parasha Shema. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav. Rav taught, Duchsustos arehi keklaf. Rav made a statement. He said, Abotai, Duchsustos, that inner parchment, as we learned, arehi keklaf. It has the same status as klaf. Meaning, ma klaf kotvim alav tefillin, just like tefillin, you write it with klaf, right? That's the style that you use for tefillin. Avduk sustos kotvim alav tefillin. So too, you could use duk sustos to write the tefillin, which means duk sustos areu keklaf. And therefore, just like you can use klaf for tefillin, and you tell me duchsustus is like klav, so you can use duchsustus also to write tefillin, which is normally the rule is, as we're going to see, that when it comes to tefillin, tefillin are normally written on klav, and mezuzot are written on duchsustus. That's the normal thing. The hidush of what they're learning in the Rav over here is that just like you write tefillin on klav, you could also write tefillin on duchsustus, meaning duchsustus arei keklav. Duchsustus is like klav. And therefore you could write the tefillin as well on the duchsustus. So the Gemara says, no, now we're discussing the laws of writing tefillin. And now we moved away from Ilchot Shabbat. Now we're discussing writing a pair of tefillin and mezuzot. So again, on the mezuzah, the item you're supposed to use is duchsustus. That's the hiddush. However, on tefillin, you must use klaf.
Okay, they learned it from Halakha Moshe Sinai. The Hiddush of Rav is that Duxustus is like klaf. And therefore, just like you could write a tefillin on klaf, you could also write a tefillin on Duxustus. So comes the Gemara and says, Tenan, we have a Mishnah. Klaf. כדי לכתוב על הפרשה קטנה שבתפילין שהיא שמע ישראל. So we said, what's the shiur of klaf? The shiur of klaf is what? In order to write the small parasha of Shema Yisrael. Now, if we're telling you that what? That klaf is used for tefillin, right? But for that matter, we said you could also use Duxustus for tefillin. So look at the parentheses. Even though we do not have these parentheses in our, or this text in our Gemara, I'm only reading it because Rashi had it in his text. So let's read it so we can appreciate Rashi. So the Gemara makes it to you. Klaf-in. It sounds like that the shi'ur of tefillin, of klaf is what? Based on the tefillin, because that is what you use for tefillin. Duxustus lo. Implying that duxustus, no. Because, why? Look at Rashi. Klaf in duxustus lo. Havi b'shi'ura zuta ki'ay. Ela b'chtel l'chtov bet parashiyot de mezuzah. Which means it's mashma. The shi'ur of klaf is the size of tefillin, the smallest parasha, implying that duxustus, the shiur is going to be for Shabbat, bigger, for a mezuzah. Now if you're telling me that you could write tefillin with duxustus, so the shiur of duxustus should also be the smallest shiur. But Rav, you just told me what, you could write tefillin on duxustus. We know from Hilchot Shabbat, that the shiur of klaf in Akadami follows the tefillin. Because that's obvious, because you write tefillin on klaf, and therefore it's the smallest parasha. But only klaf is the shiur of tefillin, implying that the shiur of duxustus is the shiur of a mezuzah. Now again, if you tell me you can write tefillin on duxustus, so therefore the shiur of duxustus should also be the smallest shiur to be hayav on Shabbat. That's a question on Rav. So the Gemara answers to that, lemitzvah. What does it mean, lemitzvah? Rashi. Mitzvah mena muvchar klaf ba'inan. Rav says, listen, I agree, the main parchment to use for tefillin is klaf. And as she says, v'stama dekod inish mitzvah me'al yeta'avi. And you could assume that people are going to do the mitzvah in the most preferred way. Therefore, when I give you the measurement of klaf, it's to the shiur of tefillin. Hilkach lo matznat duxustus the tefillin. Guys are not going to store duxustus for tefillin. Really, they're going to use the duxustus for the mezuzah. But I'm just telling you, it's kasher. But that's not going to mean that that's going to make the shiur hashuv le'inyan Shabbat. Which means, I'm just telling you, which means le'mitzvah. Which means we all agree, mitzvah mena muvchad, guy uses klaf for the tefillin. That's clear. Rav was just coming to say, if you use the duxustus, it's okay. But that's not going to mean that le'inyan Shabbat, that we're going to say the shiur for duxustus the size of a parasha in the tefillin, because mistama, you could assume a guy is going to want to do the mitzvah in the proper way. And therefore, duxustus, we give the largest shiur of a mezuzah. Gemara continues, tashema. When I continues, halakha le Moshe Mesinai. We have a tradition from Moshe Mesinai that what? Tefillin ala klaf. Right? Tefillin, we said, is on klaf. Umezuzah ala duxustus. And the Gemara explains, klaf bimkom basar. Which means when you use the klaf, what side of the klaf do you use? So the Gemara says you use the side that's closer to the meat of the animal. Duxustus bimkom se'ar. And the duxustus you use, the side that's closer to the hair. Which comes out, you're always using the middle. You're always using the middle part, which means the klaf we said is on the outside of the animal, right? So you're using the part that is closer to the
actually, you split it down, right? Mm-hmm. Down the middle. So the Gemara says that klap mimkom basar, right? So using the center, the part that's closer to the basar, and the duchsustus, which is the other side, you're using towards the hair. Okay. Now the Gemara from this braita is clearly asking a question, because we're saying that what tefillin ala klap umezuzah la duchsustus, which means, and you told me, Rav, that you can also write tefillin on duchsustus, right? Because Rav says klav, the statement that he said was, the way they learned it is, duchsustus arei keklav. Right? Duchsustus is like klav. Just like klav, you can write tefillin, so the duchsustus. But here we see, not so.
Another question.
It's another question on Rav. Exactly. So comes again what Rav says, lemitzvah. Again, same answer. All that Akala Moshe Mishnah is telling you, mitzvah min ha-muvhar, preferred mitzvah to do it that way. Mm-hmm. But Rav is coming along to say, if a guy wrote his tefillin with duchsustus, that's also okay. Gemara says, what are you talking about? How could you say that? Ve'atanya, didn't we learn in a braita, shina pasul? We clearly heard that if you switched, which is mashma, that if instead of using the klav for the tefillin, you use the duchsustus for the tefillin, it's pasul. So now you can't tell me mitzvah mina muvhar. It clearly says if you switched, it's going to be pasul. So the Gemara says no. A mezuzah. It's referring to one side. It's referring to mezuzah, meaning mezuzah that you're supposed to use duchsustus in shina. If you used klav for a mezuzah, pasul. Let's look at it on that side, but not on the tefillin side, which means mezuzah you use duchsustus, right? Im shina pasul. If you use the klav for the mezuzah, pasul, but nothing to do with tefillin. The Gemara says, wait, ve'atanya, we learned in a braita, shina baze ubaze pasul. Now you can't tell me it's only talking about mezuzah, because it clearly says if you switched on this and on this, mashma, whether you switched on the mezuzah, instead of using the duchsustus, you use klav, or whether you switched by the tefillin, instead of using klav, you use the duchsustus, pasul. So shina bazeh ubazeh. So now we have a clear braita against you. So Gemara says no. Idi v'idi amezuzah. I can still explain it. That when it says shina baze ubaze, it's referring to still the mezuzah. How? Be'ad dekadvinu aklav bimkom se'ar, iname aduchsustus bimkom basar. Which means, exactly, which means when it comes to mezuzah, halakha Moshe Mishnah says, which parchment do you use? Duchsustus you use. And we learned that duchsustus, what side of it? The side that's closer to the hair. So the Gemara is saying like this, im shina bizu bizu, meaning either let's say you used klaf on the side of the hair, which you might have thought, well, klaf on the side of the hair, it might be like duchsustus on the side of the hair. No, im shina bizu, meaning if you use for your mezuzah, klaf on the side of the hair, pasul. Or if you use duchsustus on the side of the basar, it's also going to be pasul. So imshina bezu ubezu is referring to only mezuzah, meaning either he used klav bimkom se'ar, pasul for mezuzah, because it's not duchsustus bimkom se'ar. Right? You used, first of all, you used, so you might have thought, even though you're using the wrong item, using klav, since you use it on the side of the hair, so maybe that's like duchsustus bimkom se'ar, which is okay. Kamashmala, no. And furthermore, not only if you use klav, but even if you use duchsustus on the wrong side, meaning you didn't become basar, it's also pasul as well. But that's only on the mezuzah side. Im shina bezu ubezu, pasul by mezuzah. But by the tefillin, I can argue that instead of using klav, if you use duchsustus, it'll be okay. So therefore, Rav is able to still maintain, you know, his opinion, or the interpretation, I should say, that we're giving to Rab can still be maintained. Gemara says, "V'ibayet ema," or I can give another answer. Shina baze ubaze tanaehi. or I can tell you that what, that actually this deen of Shina Baze Ubaze is actually the machloket amongst the Tanaim. Why? What does it say amongst the Tanaim? Let's learn what the Tanaim say, and then we'll see how they're learning Shina Baze Ubaze. The Tanya, because we have a Braita. Shina Baze Ubaze Pasul. Right? First statement says, Tana says, you switched. Either way it sounds, Baze Ubaze, it's going to be Pasul. Rabbi Aha Makhshir. Rabbi Aha comes along and says, you know what? It's Kasher. Mishum Rabbi Aha Bar Hanina. And he said in the name of Rabbi Aha Bar Hanina. Ve'amrila Mishum Rabbi Yaakov Berabbi Hanina. So therefore, we see that this item over here, Shina Baze Ubaze, is actually subject to a Mahloket Tanaim. Let's read Rashi, please. Tavachim Makhshir, right? That's the Tanah that says Kasher. Virav Muki Lidravahaya Tefilin de Kadman Duxustus Vamar Kevate. Which means, we see now a Tanah that says Shina Baze Ubaze can even mean what? That if you wrote the Tefilin, that you should have wrote it written on Klaf, you wrote it on Duxustus, Kasher. So therefore, Rav already has a Tana, where it's now ready, he has a backing, which is we have a Machloket Tanaim, which is we see this rabbi says what? Kasher. And how does Rav learn this rabbi? Let's say when he said Kasher, he meant that even if you wrote Tefilin on Duxustus, it's going to be Kasher. What was the argument? Shina Bazeh Bazeh, he'll learn it. Even on the side of Tefilin, which is if you switched, instead of writing it on Klaf, you wrote it on Duxustus, we have a Shitara Vahayin that's saying what? Kasher, what do you want from Rav? Rav can be going like that Tana. So the Gemara says, Rav Papa Amar Rav De Amar, Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa is a different answer. Rav De Amar Ke Tana De Ben Menashe. I can say Rav is going also like another Tana, called Rabbi Menashe. De Tana De Ben Menashe. Because we learned in the Midrash of Menashe. What do you say? Katva Ala Niyar. If let's say a person wrote the Tefillin, let's say, we don't know what he wrote yet actually. Let's keep that open. Ketava ala niyar. Niyar, we said, is paper. In the old days, they used to make their paper out of grass. Ve'ala matlit. Matlit would be like a cloth. Pisula. Whatever you wrote on it, pisula. Ala klaf, ala gevil, ala duchsustus. But if you used klaf or gevil, that's before you separate it. Duchsustus, kishera. So the Gemara is Ketava Mai. What are you writing here exactly? Ilema Mezuzah. If you tell me we're writing a Mezuzah, Mezuzah Aklaf Mikatvina. Could you write a Mezuzah on Klaf? We know not so. We know that Hakam Shem Sinai is that you write the Mezuzah on Tuxustus. So it would not tell me that if you wrote it on Klaf, it's Keshera. Ela Lav Tefillin. Must be what it's talking about, Tefillin. And what's the Hiddush? It's telling you that if you wrote Tefillin not only on Klaf, but if you wrote it even on Duxustus, it'll be Kasher. And who's saying that? The better be Menashe. So Rav can be going like Rav Menashe. So if we have a Shita, so the Gemara says, hold it. V'letameh Tefillin agivil mikadvinan. Hold it. One of the things you said you could write on is Givil. Gevil is when you have the klaf and the duchsusta still attached, right? You didn't split it. It's called gevil. So Gemara says, what are you talking about? You can't say it's still referring to tefillin. Could you write tefillin on gevil? Elas, you have to say no. You know what that Devim and Hashem was talking about? Kitanya I be-sefer Torah. That must be referring to a Sefer Torah. What is a Sefer Torah, which means when a person wants to write a Sefer, the Gemara tell you can write it either on Klav, you can write it on Duxustus, or you can write it on Gevil. So the Gemara says, Lema Mesayale. You know what? I'll bring you a proof that that must be the way to learn the Braita. Why? Because it says in another place, Mekayotze, was similarly, Tefillin Shebalu Vesefer Torah Shebala. Let's say you have Tefillin that wore out. And they wore out, let's say, they're not usable anymore. The parchments wore themselves out. The sefer Torah shebala. We have a sefer also that became worn out. En osim behem or mehen mezuzah. You're not allowed to now, let's say, cut out of the sefer Torah
Parashat Shema, and use it as a mezuzah. Or for that matter, you want to take from the Tefillin and also cut, you know, Parashat Shema out and use it as a mezuzah. Why not? Why can't you take a sefer or a Tefillin and, you know, put it, make it as a mezuzah? Lefi she'en muridin mikdusha hamura lekdusha kala. It seems that Tefillin and Sefer Torah are on a higher level of Kiddusha than the Mezuzah. So the rule is you cannot take something that had Kiddusha Hamura, means severe Kiddusha, and downgrade it to something that has lower Kiddusha. So the Gemara now analyzes. That's the reason you're giving. The reason the Gemara is giving is only because you can't downgrade it. Mashma, that for all other purposes, it would be permissible. The only reason is why? Because you're not allowed to downgrade. So the Gemara says, Tama de'en muridin. The only reason you give me is because you can't downgrade. Ha muridin, osin. Mashma, that if you're allowed to downgrade, it would be permissible to go from, let's say, a tefillin to a mezuzah. So the Gemara analyzes. Deketiva amai. What did you write these tefillin on? Lav dichtiva adduchsustus. So the Gemara is saying, must be you wrote the tefillin on duchsustus, which means duchsustus is what you're supposed to write. Actually, duchsustus is what you're supposed to write, let's say, the mezuzah, really, right? So it's saying that, I'll tell you that you must have written these items, which means the tefillin and the Sefer Torah. You must have written it on duchsustus. And that, of course, you want to use it for a mezuzah. Right, and we know mezuzah is the sustus. You must have written those items on the sustus, and so you can downgrade. So the reason why you can't do it is because you can't downgrade. But take out the reason of downgrading, otherwise it would be permissible. Why? Because you must have written those items on the sustus, and therefore you want to bring it down. So Gemara says, no. I say no. Dichtiva ala klaf. Talking about where you wrote the tefillin and the mezuzot on klaf. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? O mezuzah. Sorry, you wrote the Sefer Torah and the tefillin on klaf. And therefore the question was, can you downgrade it to a mezuzah? So the Gemara says, what are you talking? O mezuzah a klaf mi kadvinan? How could you even think to downgrade it to a mezuzah? We know that you cannot write a mezuzah on klaf. The mezuzah is only on tuchsustus. So the Gemara says, in. Gemara says, yes, you can write a mezuzah on klaf. Gemara says, ve'atanya, because as we learned, which we have a braita that says, ketava ala klaf ala niyar v'ala matlit, if you wrote it on, let's say, klaf, which is the klaf parchment, niyar is paper, v'ala matlit would be, let's say, a sheet, pisula. Cloth, but this is a cloth. Pesula. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Azad, Rabbi Meir aya kotva ala klaf. Oh, we have shita Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds you could write your mezuzot on klaf mipnei shemishtameret because it preserves, it stays good. So therefore, you see over here why we found the new shita. It's the first time we've been introduced now with the shita that holds that mezuzah can be written as well on klaf. And therefore, how are we going to explain that braita above? I'll explain the braita as you have a sefer Torah. And you have tefillin. And I can tell you what, you wrote it on klaf. You can't use that if it wore out to write mezuzot. Why? Only because it's a downgrade. But from the aspect of parchment, you'd be okay. Because the Bimir indeed holds what? You can write mezuzot on parchment. So therefore, that braita that we quoted above, we thought to say that what? We could bring a proof to Rav. How were we going to bring a proof to Rav? Because we were going to say that it says tefillin and mezuzot. Must be tefillin and sefer Torah, I'm sorry. Must be you wrote the tefillin on duchsustus, right? And because it's saying you cannot downgrade it to mezuzah. Now mezuzah, we thought you can only write on duksustus, right? So therefore that would be a proof that tefillin also you can write on duksustus, which was exactly what Rav was saying. Od pam, Rav, the way we understood him, was saying duksustus arehi keklaf, which meant just like you write tefillin on klaf, you could write tefillin with duksustus. And now we thought to say that we found a Tana that's going like him. Who's that? Rav Menashe. Because Rav Menashe is teaching us that if a person has, let's say, his Sefer Torah or Tefillin, and they wore out, so we said the only reason why you can't use it for a mezuzah is because it's you can't go down. You can't go from Kedusha Hamorat to Kedusha Kala. But without that reason, it'll be okay. Now we know, the assumption until this point was what? Mizuzot have to be on duksustos. So it must be the tefillin that you were talking about also written on duksustos. That's a proof too? Rav! Now the Gemara says, no, that's not the interpretation of the statement over there. I can say really it's talking about you wrote him on klaf. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? You wrote a tefillin on klaf, I have no problem. But that you can downgrade it to a mezuzah. Mizuzah, klaf, is it okay? Gemara says, yeah, it's okay. Going like who? Nabi Meir. So therefore that statement has no bearing on Rav. On the contrary, it's not going like Rav. You have no proof that you can write tefillin on duksustus. So the Gemara says, hashtadatit lache. Once already introducing me this opinion of Nabi Meir le Rav Nameh. Now I go back to interpret the Rav and say, lo tema duksustus arei keklav. Don't learn his statement that duksustus is like klav, and therefore you could use duksustus with tefillin. Ela ema, learn it the other way. Learn his statement klav areu ke duksustus. Learn it the opposite. And say, klaf is like duksustus. And say what? Ma duksustus kotvin alav mezuzah, af klaf kotvin alav mezuzah. Which means, say the opposite, which means Zaydav was referring to actually the law of mezuzah. And he was telling you that not only could you use duksustus for mezuzah, but klaf areu ke duksustus. Because already we have a Tana that says, klaf is okay. Now, the only question is, what did Rav say? Rav seems here was vague in what he said, and therefore it can lend itself to both ways. Look at the bottom Tosfot. Hashta datit la'achi. Omer ri, demilta de Rav staman nishnit bebet ha-midrash. Rav's statement was said in the Bet Midrash stam. Because it was a vague statement. He said, klav v'duchsustus shavim. All he said was, klav and duchsustus are equal. So the rabbis now needed to try that. What do you mean equal? And what is equal to what? So originally we argued to say that duksustus is like klaf. Right? And therefore you can write tefillin on duksustus. And then the Gemara questioned back and forth Rav's opinion. Is it permissible? Can you? And Rav had to answer all the questions that they levied on, according to that way of learning. Right? The Gemara had to answer all these questions. Then the Gemara wanted to say, we have Rav Menashe that's going. No, Rav Menashe is not going like him as well. So now the Gemara says, hey, since he made a vague statement, and we know already that Rabbi Meir's opinion is that for different mezuzot you can use klaf, and all Rav said is klaf and duksustus are equal, I can tell you what he meant to say is, klaf is equal to duksustus. And therefore, just like you can use duksustus for mezuzah, you can also use klaf as well. And that's exactly the shita of Rav. And he wasn't saying anything more than that.
Only mezuzah.
Yeah, he was referring to mezuzah, which is tefillin, really, you have to use the klaf. And nobody was ever saying anything else. And then we don't have to answer all those breitot that we brought as questions. Those stay amen. It's just that you have to adjust the deen of the mezuzah that Rav will hold. You can even write it on klav. Amen.